We're continuing in the Beatitudes this morning. This morning's message is the heart of the matter. It comes from Matthew 5:8, the Beatitude this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Who can say that they're pure in heart? To be pure is to be clean. But it's more than that. It means to be unmixed. It's something that's singular in substance. To be pure in heart is to be unmixed in our motives. That's a powerful challenge for us humans, isn't it? To be unmixed in our motives, to be pure in heart. Who can claim to have such a heart? Often even our best actions aren't entirely unmixed in motive. When we give generously to some good cause, we may have some mixture of basking perhaps in self-approval. You know, sometimes I feel pretty good about my giving to something. Or even basking in any credit or praise that we may receive from others. If we do some good act of service requiring some sacrifice on our parts, we may relish the fact that we may be seen by some as rather heroic or even being sort of a martyr. Is our service selfless or is it for motives of self-display? Is the work done in the church for Christ or for our own prestige and our self-satisfaction? It's a challenge to be pure in heart, for our motives to be pure. How often do we judge one another's hearts or motives? More closely than we judge our own, perhaps. And yet, which should we be able to judge more closely? Our own heart or someone else's? The fact of the matter is, we need God's help in searching our hearts. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's interesting to me that the psalmist says, "Know my anxious thoughts." The definition of anxious is experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness. Typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And then there's a little bit more to it, and this one is the one that kind of touches me. Wanting something very much, typically with a feeling of unease. Know my anxious thoughts, Lord. Lord, know the things that I really want. I really want it very much. Interesting to me that that's what the psalmist picks out there. Know my anxious thoughts, Lord. Often our anxiety leads us in the wrong direction. There's no beatitude that says, blessed are the anxious. And yet I deal with a lot of anxiety. I think it's good for me to recognize, what am I anxious about? What are the things that I think I just have to have, or it just has to happen? What's God say about those things? Is my heart mixed when I'm anxious? And there's two kinds of things, I think, going on here. Sometimes there's this kind of emotional anxiousness that maybe we don't know quite how to end. I don't sometimes. But there's also then that awareness of that kind of anxiety where we feel like there's something we have to have, something that has to happen. So as we look at this beatitude, the first thing we learn here is that God happens to be concerned with our hearts. In the Bible, the heart refers to our entire inner self, to our emotions, our mind, and our will. It's not enough to clean up our act on the outside, Jesus tells us. Jesus is concerned with our heart. And I know that you guys all did a lot of work this morning. looking good on the outside, and you look good. But God's really looking at my heart this morning, not at the outside. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 25 and 26, "Woe to you teachers of the law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean." When Jesus was asked about divorce, and he was challenged with the fact that Moses had allowed divorce, Moses, the lawgiver, had said, "It's okay. You may serve your wife a certificate of divorce." Jesus replied to those who challenged him in that way, said, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. It wasn't God's intention. It's not God's intention." But sometimes there's a problem with our hearts. In our society, we mourn the fact that at least 50% of marriages seem to end in divorce, and sometimes they say the church isn't much different. But God's not satisfied just because you and your spouse are together. He's concerned with your heart and with the heart of your marriage. How's your relationship with one another? Are there hidden resentments, bitterness, lack of forgiveness? Have you kept score of the wrongs or withdrawn from putting your full self into your marriage? God's not satisfied that we're simply here in church together this morning. We must ask the same questions that I've just asked about marriage in the church. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Jesus is concerned about our hearts. I said that pure refers to a substance that is singular. It's something where there's no other substances present. There's no impurities present. To become pure, a substance must go through some sort of purifying process, such as fire or heat to burn up the impurities. The remaining substance is of much greater value than the impurities. The impurities are discardable. They're compared to the value of the pure substance. So we often talk about pure gold. You have pure gold when you get all the other substances out, and all that's left is gold. When I think of this purifying process, I think of the story of Jacob in Genesis, in the Old Testament, because purifying is kind of a process in our lives. You remember Jacob, the son of Isaac and Rebekah, the twin of Esau? When Jacob and Esau were born, God's favor was spoken of about Jacob. And there were several visions along the way throughout Jacob's life in which God tells of his favor for Jacob. And in some sense, Jacob understood this, and he sought God's favor. He was interested in the spiritual things. And we have a story about Jacob and Esau. One time when Esau was out hunting, and he came back home and he was hungry. He was starving, he said. Probably a bit of a hyperbole on his part. But Jacob had made stew. Jacob had stew. And Esau said to his brother, "Jacob, could I have some stew?" And Jacob's like, "Give me your birthright and you can have some stew." And Esau does it. He says, "Fine, I'm going to starve. You can have my birthright. Just give me some of that stew." And so we start to see right there in the lives of these two twins, Jacob is after the things of God. Esau doesn't really put any value in some of these things from God. Esau cared more for the satisfaction of his flesh at that moment. And so Jacob seeks God, and yet Jacob had a divided way of seeking God's favor in his life. When he was born, he had been holding on to Esau's heel. And so he received the name Jacob, which is conniver. He had this way of trying to make things happen to receive God's blessing. And so he had told Esau, "I'll give you some stew, just give me the birthright." And then when his father Jacob was old and blind, and it was time for Jacob, he said, "I want to give my blessing." And he wanted to give his blessing to his oldest son, Esau. Jacob and his mother decided to figure out a way to get the blessing for Jacob. And so Jacob impersonated his brother Esau, and he went to his father Isaac, and he said, "I'm here now, father, give me your blessing." And Isaac prayed and gave his blessing to whom he thought was Esau, but it was really Jacob. Jacob knew he was supposed to receive God's honor and blessing in his life. And so he worked in this way to get it. Well, in the end, Jacob has to run for his life. He's afraid of his brother Esau. And so he runs and he goes to live with his brother Laban. And there's a whole long story there about how Laban tricks Jacob and Jacob works to trick Laban in order to get what they want. And eventually, Jacob leaves. And he decides to go back home and face things. And when he leaves, you remember that Jacob earlier had this experience of the ladder between heaven and earth where he saw angels going up and down. And he at that time had dedicated his life to Jesus, to God, at that point. Well, God brings him back there, and before he meets Esau, you'll remember Jacob had this time of wrestling with this man all night long who turned out to be God. So Jacob wrestles with God, and as he wrestles with God, he receives a name change. And I believe Jacob begins to give up his divided ways. His heart has been and is being purified. He names the place Peniel because he saw God face to face, and yet his life was spared. It's interesting to me, he wrestled with God. There was some purifying taking place in his heart, the removing of those divided ways, and it's at that place that he sees God face to face. Our beatitude today says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." We also have heart issues that affect our lives. We go through times of difficulty or wrestling with God. During those times, God purifies our hearts. He gets rid of the impurities. So the pure in heart will see God. What's that like when we see God? You know, when we say that we want to see the doctor, what's that mean? Does that mean, all I got to do is see him back there and everything will be fine? I just want to see the doctor. Doesn't mean that at all, does it? It means I want to meet with the doctor. I want to be face to face with him, and I want to receive something for him. I need something. That's what it means when we see God. We enter into God's presence because we want to hear from him, because we want to receive from him. We receive from God something of who he is. When we see him and come into his presence. The pure in heart see God somewhat incompletely at this time. We sense God's presence more at times than others, but the time is coming when we'll fully be in God's presence. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks of seeing imperfectly, like the reflection in a cloudy mirror. But then he says we will see clearly face to face. So we don't see it all clearly, and yet we do even now, with purity of heart, get to see God face to face. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says this, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" That's speaking of the temple. Who can come to the temple, stand in God's presence? "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." When we see God, we're also impressed, as you can imagine, when we see God. In the Message, this beatitude is written this way: "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." That might give us one aspect of how we see God. We see God at work. We see Him at work in our lives. We see Him at work in the world around us. And that's impressive. That's impressive to see what God does. After God had questioned Job in his time of suffering, Job, first of all, had questioned God, and then God said, "I'm going to question you." And he showed his glory and his might to Job. Job saw God. This is what Job said. He said, "My ears had heard of you, but my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job was impressed with God. He saw God's glory. The pure in heart see God. I'd like to read just a bit from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 7 to 10. The psalmist says this, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior." The psalmist is crying out to God. "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." To have God turn his face to us and to see him in this way is to receive gracious comfort. Do you hear the comfort in the psalm of being accepted even when rejected by your parents? It says, "Even though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." When we see God, we're comforted. We're comforted by being in his sight. Sometimes there's something in my heart that's not right, and God will point it out to me. And sometimes after some struggle, I'll release it to him. At that point, I experience God's comfort in my life. God doesn't just leave us with an impression that something is wrong inside without pointing out something specific, something we need to release. As God points out specific things that we need to give to God, and we release those things and ask God to change our hearts, we receive his comfort. We see God. We can't do this on our own. God does it. God is the one who creates pure hearts. David in Psalm 51, after coming face to face with his sin and repenting, writes this, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. As we open our hearts to God, He creates a pure heart. We begin by giving our lives to Jesus and by accepting His forgiveness from sin. At that point, our hearts are changed. They are purified, and they continue to be purified. As we walk with Jesus through life and we keep our hearts open to Him, He continues to purify our hearts. Sometimes, like Jacob, we must struggle with God. Sometimes it's a long struggle. Sometimes it's a shorter struggle. This morning I invite you to open your hearts up to God. Thank Him for your new heart. Thank Him for the ways that He's purified your heart. And allow Him to continue that process of purifying. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You will experience God's presence. You'll receive His comfort. You'll be impressed with His love and with His awesome ways. I'd like to ask you to stand this morning as the worship team comes. Let's pray. Father, we want to have pure hearts. And I thank You, Lord, that in Christ You have given us a new heart, that You've given us pure hearts. And yet the strange thing is that we continually need You to work in our lives, to continue purifying our hearts. And so, Father, I ask that You would do that. Lord, we want to give ourselves completely and fully to You. That's really the essence of a pure heart. When we've given ourselves fully to You. And so, Lord, search us out. Know our anxious thoughts. Enable us to release those to You. And to fully trust You, Lord. To let You be the Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.